liked ministry.
That man of God's specific question is that, can those bones have life? And he said, God, you know. But he said to him that, prophesy, life and death lies in the power of the word, of the tongue. Hallelujah. Somebody say prophesy. Yes, he says prophesy, man of God, prophesy. And he spoke by the Spirit that breath should enter the body, life should be sustained. To a thing that was broken, that had bones that received flesh, bones that received muscles, bones that came back to life, and breath enter body and soul was rested. Hallelujah. We are praying in the name of Jesus that let the wind and the breath from the four corners of this earth begin to enter the room that this lady is in now. It is 2103, which I believe that it is 8 p.m. in Ghana. We are praying to God that let the spirit of breath, let the spirit of life in Christ with breath begin to enter her body. Let breath equipping her mortal body, and let the spirit of Christ give life to her soul. Let her begin to come back alive now. Let this wind enter the place that she is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wherever she is, and let this begin to enter. I see a greeny scene with green painting or marking in the surrounding. It represents life again. Hallelujah. And I pray to God that it will be life in this realm. I pray in Jesus' name that let the spirit of life, let the wind begin to enter where she is now. In the name of Jesus, let's lift up our voice and begin to pray. Everybody that is in that room as we speak now will benefit from the wind that is entering there now. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice and begin to pray. You that sit upon the throne, in the name of Jesus, let your wind and your light shine forth. Let it break forth into this room in the name of Jesus. Let light come into this room in the name of Jesus. Let the wind of life break forth into this room in the mighty name of Jesus. Padura papa la papa, apetala papa la papa dala papa la papa, apapa la papa dala papa la papa dala papa, apapa la papa dala papa la papa la papa, apapa la papa dala papa dala papa. It is my prayer that it would help you to understand God and how, according to His divine purpose for us as human beings, He has made us. Sometimes when you listen to how the Bible has been rendered in a certain way, you would ask yourself that if this is the fate of us human beings, why then did God even made us at all? Why would God create us and yet make us so vulnerable and a subject to death at the end of everything else that we would suffer for? But beloved, look, we tell the truth as it is, but there is a deception that lives in the age, and that deception is the fact that human beings that are alive today feel like they won't die tomorrow. Okay? And when we speak of death, if you have joined True Light Ministry, you would hear that it's one platform that you would mostly hear me as a pastor bring to remembrance the issue of death. Amen. And it is not to scare you, but it is to make you wiser. It is to make you number your days and walk wisely with God. It is to make you give an account for your purpose and your destiny in life. Hallelujah. Look, if you count 70 years back, there were people that were on telly that they are not there today. Are you listening? There were people that were alive that they are not there today. In fact, if we put 100 years ahead of us, most of us will not be here 100 years to come. But you know that, don't say that by 100 years the world would have come to an end. Those who lived, who were about in their age of, let's say, 30, 35 or something, when they were counting 100 years ahead of them, they thought maybe by that time the world would have come to an end. Don't live in that deception. But live every moment of your life coming into the perfect knowledge of what God has called you to do and what He wants to do with your life. Those of you who might have scriptures in your background, I want you to get ready with them so that as we go through the word of God, you'll be able to speak for us. Hallelujah. Proverbs 9 verse 1. Amen. I want you to understand that God has a purpose for making us human beings that way. And we've been speaking of prevailing light, and there is a dimension of this prevailing light that speaks concerning the wisdom of God. I'm trying not to run fast with my words. I'm trying to talk in a way that, yes, though, you'll be able to understand me. I'm trying to communicate what is in my spirit to you. Okay, so God didn't make us to only die and not have an essence for our life or destiny. But everything that God made is perfect, even with the inclusiveness of death. And we must understand that there is a prevailing end which ends with light with us. I think a couple of days ago I was talking a little bit about creation, and I spoke concerning the seven light or the seven dimensions of creation that God created us as man. I want to visit that a little bit and begin to speak something into your life that I believe that would stir a lot of you that are on this platform up to want to pursue your life-given destiny in God, in a way that you would want to pursue the wisdom of God for your life. No matter what happens to you, you will still want to do something for God. What does the book of Proverbs say in chapter 9 verse 1? What does it say? Proverbs says something very peculiar there. He says that, yeah, go on, Mary.
Proverbs 9 verse 1.
Yeah.
Wisdom has built her house.
Uh-huh.
Has set up its seven pillars.
Okay, so wisdom. When you speak of wisdom, you do not have anything that advises wisdom or give wisdom to wisdom. Here he says wisdom has built it, so we are referring to God. Okay, and in God nobody advises God. God, in fact, he questioned Job to ask him that, can you give me counsel? Hallelujah. Nobody can give God counsel. Now when we speak of wisdom, we are speaking of manifestation of wisdom is perfect light. Somebody say light. Yes, so manifestation of wisdom is perfect light. So in creation, God, there is a principle that governs the way God works, and his principle is that he works with wisdom, perfect light. God does not do anything without perfection at the end, or without perfection. So anything that God does, the tunnel in which it starts from the beginning is light, to the end is what? Light. Hallelujah. I repeat, anything that God does from the beginning, it is what? Light. And to the end, it is what? Light. So you that is listening to me now, you are a product of light. Your beginning is of light, and your end will be of what? Light. You are created and manufactured according to the purposes of God in his perfect wisdom. But the book of Genesis gives us a clue into how the wisdom of God allows God to form and create us according to his perfect light. We don't quote the Bible and say that, hey, the Bible, bro. Yes, we suffer, but those that suffer without the prevailing light would suffer and suffer a kind of suffer without hope of an end. But our suffering in God gives us unexpected, and it is like going through a tunnel. It starts darker, but at the end of the tunnel, there is light, there is hope, so you can smile and walk through. But if you do not see light at the end of the tunnel, you wouldn't smile. You know that it's a dead end and it's a doom, and anything can happen to you in that darkness. But listen to me, God gives us a clue from the book of Genesis. For me, the book of Genesis, without even jumping to Matthew, whatever it is, though they've been a reflection giving me light into Genesis, what they have done is that the book of Genesis actually reveals the perfect mind of God concerning everything that he has done. So when Christ makes this bold statement that I am the Alpha, the beginning, so in the beginning there was Christ. Everything that we see that has been created by God from the beginning, I am the beginning, is Christ. So in the beginning, just to brush on this, when most of us read our Bible, we say that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Beloved, the truth surrounding that is not that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. No. In fact, creation was created in a perfect order of seven. The number dimension of seven that God used for creation is not to tell us that when God was creating, in the sixth day he finished, and because he was tired, he rested on the seventh day. It is not true. In fact, also, if you want to say that when God was creating day one, after he created day one, he was tired, so he waited after the next morning and then he started creating day two. You want to tell me that God was tired in day one, so he rested and he continued day two? No, God didn't observe. The observance of time does not affect God. So God was not in an observation of time to wait before he created. Those things that you see, or the mentioning of seven in Genesis, he could have said that God created in the sixth day and he finished. He could have decided not to bring the seven, but Genesis chapter 2 say that he finished on the seventh day. It makes it specific that God finished on the seventh day. Why? Because in the seventh day he brings everything into its perfection, because the Bible say that in the seventh day he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He didn't bless the sixth day and made it holy, or he didn't bless the creatures in the sixth day and made the creatures holy. No, he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Why is that emphatical that God will say that I am blessing the seventh day to make it holy? Why would God bless a seventh day and make it holy and not bless the sixth day, the first day, the whatever day and make it holy? Now, understand this, that the mentioning of the fact that God finished on the seventh day and made it holy, he didn't add additional days of creation to it. He didn't say that then after he blessed the seventh day, on the eighth day God woke up and went looking for, and on the, we are not told of additional day. But when the number seven was mentioned, we are brought to an end of things. When the number seven was mentioned, we are brought to a perfect order of a finished creation. I want to bring your attention to something here today. You would realize that from the book of Genesis chapter 1, right from the verse 3, you realize that the days that began with men did not begin because there was a physical sun and there was a physical light in the atmosphere to give light. So creation did not start from an order of time where the sun and the moon mark seasons for the earth. No, creation started from a place where time was not necessarily observed, but dimensions of being were in existence. And we are talking about darkness and light. Okay, so evening and morning that God speaks of are not dimensions of seasons that we observe. We are only giving that because God was marking time dimension for beings. I repeat, God was setting boundaries for time dimension for beings that are both spiritual and physical. God does not observe time. God does not need time. He doesn't have to sleep, start crazy, sleep in the morning and wake up, sleep in the evening and wake up in the morning and continue. No, it wasn't man's work. It was the work of a God who surpasses the observance of time. He is not time bound. He is eternal in his existence. But he was marking the boundary of time for us. So the phenomena of time is a product of light giving room for darkness to rule. A little bit of time and thought here. So listen to me. The 7 days that are said in the Bible are not days according to how you see it that God had to observe, but they were God marking the boundaries of time for men. They are dimensions that God was putting in place. So what God will see as the seventh day that he blessed and made it holy, in the manifestation of that seventh day in the life of us men, is the manifestation of a being that we call Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Before God said that he blessed the seventh day, made it holy, which we call the Sabbath, we never knew in Genesis that there was a Lord that was going to come in manifestation, who will be Lord of that Sabbath. So every day that God spoke of has a Lord over that day, or every day that God spoke of concerning creation has a being that fulfills that day. And it is revealed to us that on the seventh day God said that this day is holy because it is dedicated to a person in that day who is the Lord of the Sabbath. So I want you to understand that when the Bible is saying that God created the earth, sixth, and rested on the seventh day, it is dimensions of time. It is the dimensions of realms that are being what observed in time, not necessarily according to the time of man, but according to a dimension in God that God was making. It's not necessarily to say, oh, you know how we have darkness now as we are preaching, and then we need to go and sleep and wake up and go come and continue. No, they are dimension. So Jesus set the boundaries for them. He said that I am the beginning and the end. And this dimension is not only physical. I repeat to you, it started from a place of the spiritual. The Bible says in the book of Revelation here, let me calm down a little bit, not walk fast. Bible says in the book of Revelation that Satan has been cast down to earth, and he came with the wrath, knowing that his time is short. My question is that, is Satan a physical being? No. Why is he observing a time dimension, being bound on earth, and he knows that his time is short? So because of that, he's upset. He's upset because the dimensions of time boundaries that God set is not only physical, it is also spiritual in its dimension. So I want you to understand that the number seven, or what we say in the book of Genesis concerning day 10 and that we talk, is far beyond you sleeping in the evening and waking up in the morning. It has a greater depth and dimensions of meaning. But the thing is that there is a greater revelation there, that the initiator and the one that sets the boundaries for time is light. Somebody say light. So you would even realize that according to how we even manage our calendar systems, or how we started marking the days for us, we said that AD after the death of Christ, and when we want to go back, we say what, BC after the death of Christ. He becomes the one that sets the boundaries for light. The way you are able to tell time, your clock, is according to how the sun casts a shadow, whether according to the sun dial or according to broad daylight setting on your phone. So light is a dimension that enforces the parameters of time, so that beings that are created by light in the physical order can observe a level of governance that is established by light. Again, 7 days. 7 days. So the seven makes us understand that when God was creating, he created this earth in a perfect order. In as much as it started with chaos, I'll touch that, with darkness, there was darkness there, yet still we are in a perfect order. I want you to tell yourself that you are made fearfully by God in a perfect fashion and form and order, because you are a bearer of light, you are a carrier of light, and you have light in you. The problem is that many of us have not come to understand how and why God made us like that. I need to move from Genesis, looking at my time. Listen here. So if you look at the Bible throughout, you realize that in this order of light, when God made the temple, he told Moses, make the seven branches of the golden lampstand, which we call the menorah. The menorah is seven lampstands, which represent the seven lights of God. There is the seven feast of God. There is the seven sprinkles of the blood of Jesus. There is the seven trumpet blasts. There is the seven horns of the lamb. There is the seven eyes of the Lord. There is the seven spirit of God. There is the seven vows of wrath of God. There is the seven seals on the scroll, which you've known of. There is the seven trumpet judgment of God. There is the seven plagues that hit it. There is the seven churches of revelation. As you've heard, there is the seven stars of Christ. There is the seven tenders of God. There is the seven mountains of God. Revelation 17:9. There is the seven times Naaman was told to wash in the river Jordan. Hallelujah. Somebody say seven. There is the seven pillars of wisdom. There is the seven I am statement of Jesus Christ. There is the seven beatitudes in Revelation. There is the seven. It represents the perfect order of how God does things. So if you hear in Revelation that God 7 days made the earth, he is not just talking about days, he is talking about his work that has been done to end in a perfect order of things. The earth creation is a perfect system of God. So you are within a perfect system of God, that in the end there is the birth of a greater light, where beings that are created by God would have the perfect rest that is coming. So if everything that is in life is looked at in through this spectrum, you'd realize that, oh yes, we might have started in a way where we can feel that there is a presence of darkness, but we are heading towards the perfection of God's word creation. So in starting from the book of Genesis just a little bit, I want to point something to you here. Look at something here. Anybody that carries the true light of God, I repeat, anybody that carries the true light of God must first, on this earth, that light, if it's going to be the prevailing light of God, must first come out of darkness. It must be born out of darkness. And this is the contradiction of light on earth. It must first be born out of darkness. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that there was what? Darkness. And because of darkness, because there was darkness, God said that let there be what? Be light. And when the light came, it shined so much that it prevailed against the darkness. But the wisdom of God was that until we have entered into the perfect rest, which is the seventh day, and the seventh day is a dimension, the seventh day is a dispensation, the seventh day is a futuristic time for man that is ahead of us. The seventh day is not just about the seventh day that God was created. In order for us to enter into the seventh day of rest, there is the need that the lesser light rules alongside the greater light, so that God, through the seasons of time, would be able to manufacture or bring out those that belongs to Him, so that they would enter into His perfect rest in the seventh day or the seventh dimension, which is the dimension of light. Because if you read the last part of Revelation, in the end of days we will dwell perpetually with light, with no moon and no darkness. Okay, and you realize that if you read this, if you read the days that were being created, day one, evening, and what? Morning. It does not start from morning and to evening. It starts from evening and what? Morning. So it is an indication that God has permitted that darkness might start first, not because it is the prevailing order of things, but because God wants to be revealed in the midst of darkness so that He can show us the glory of His prevailing light. So darkness will start first as evening, and then morning would what? Would come. If you look at it, you will see that okay, if you look at it carefully, you would realize that darkness always starts, but then light prevails. Day one, evening and morning. Day two, evening and morning. Day three, evening and morning. Day four, evening and morning. Day five, evening and morning. Day six, evening and what? Morning. Day seven, does He mention evening and morning? No. Day seven, He doesn't mention evening and morning. Day seven, He said that God bless the day. So in that order of creation, so much so would it be for the destiny of man that at the end of days, men would have to come and live in the rest of God, perpetually dwelling in light day without darkness. Every mystery of God is hidden in Genesis. But so I'm picking the pointers of what I'm preaching from there. And one of them is the fact that in the domain of man, darkness always initiate or start before light is birthed out. So at a season in your life, you probably might be going through a rough patch in the darkness of your life. But I want you to understand that the reason why that you are going through this state, or there is a form of darkness, is that there is a prevailing light in you that must come out. Anyone that carries the prevailing light for this earth must always emerge from darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 to 3 spoke about concerning that those that dwelt in the, how do you call it, say the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea. He spoke about them dwelling in darkness, but then they will see a great word, light. It was that prophecy came to pass. Matthew chapter 4 verse 14 to 18, he says that to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee and of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. He says on those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned on them. And do you know what that light is? Matthew 4:17, he says that from that time on, Jesus began to preach. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. So it meant that anytime there is a prevailing light, guys, this is where True Light Ministry will bring you into the practicality of the word. Anytime there is a prevailing light, we are not talking of some spiritual light working somewhere in the universe. We are not talking of you going to get a greater life. We are talking about a person manifesting their destiny as according to the order of the divine call. So Jesus became the light that they have been waiting for. And according to the order of the divine call, He began to do what He has been called to do as a light that was breaking forth upon the people that lived in darkness. The question I want to ask you tonight is that, what light are you carrying, and what darkness have you brought a season of light to them since you lived and since you became a Christian? Ask yourself this question tonight. If indeed you are bringing forth light, what light have you brought? What is it that you are doing in your life that represents the light of the divine call that God has permitted you to manifest? Tell me, what is your light? So it stands to reason that every person's light that they carry is the destiny that God has given them, but their light must prevail. This darkness that we emerge from is what the scriptures speak of in John 1 verse 5. He said that the light shine on in the darkness and the darkness comprehended not. Now this light was Jesus. But the question I want to ask the people in True Light Ministry is that after Christ has ascended into glory, where is this light? Where is the light of the world? Where is the light that this world is waiting for? Because watch something here. According to the book of John chapter 1 verse 10, he says that Jesus was actually in the world. The world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him until the manifestation of his time, where he took upon himself the flesh and the nature of a man, and he became a light that came upon the people that were in Zebulun, Naphtali, Galilee, and they saw the true light of God walking there in glory. He was a burning light that his generation couldn't ignore. What light are you in your generation? You've lived maybe 40 years, 30 years, 35 years, 25 years. My question, Jesus at the age of 12 was still being prompted by the Spirit to contend for what the divine call has called him to do. What light are you carrying? What is your divine call? What is God calling you to? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a question I want you to ask yourself. What light are you carrying? So when you are carrying light, and we say that you have the divine light and you have the divine call and all that, we are not just saying that just shine. It is your destiny. The Bible says that when this prophecy was fulfilled, it says that hour Jesus began to preach. So it means to me that when a person starts doing something according to the call of the divine order, that means that according to the destiny that God has ordained you for, when a person starts doing something in God, his light begins to shine. And it is this prevailing light that will lead you to the glory that God has for you. What are you doing? What are you doing in Christ? What is your prevailing light doing? It took John the Baptist, a light carrier and a burning one, to testify of the light that was to come. The Bible says that he was a burning one. His light was acceptable in his days, but the purpose for his light was to reveal Christ. That was John the Baptist's light. It was to reveal Christ according to the divine order. That was the light that John the Baptist carried. Look, some people, Pastor, I am doing it, but I don't see myself as somebody that is revealing. I'm doing it by the light. No, look, if you are walking in darkness, it is not permitted by the will of God that darkness should testify of light. If you've ever been told that testify anyhow in darkness, God does not give permission to darkness to testify of light. That is why when he came to Jesus Christ being revealed to the people of Israel, God sent John the Baptist, another burning one, to come and testify of the light. John chapter 5 verse 33. Jesus called John the Baptist a burning light. Never be deceived. Darkness never gives an accurate testimony of light. Hallelujah. Shebala babatala barabara barabara. John the Baptist was a burning one, and I was laying the emphasis that do not be deceived. Darkness never testifies about the true light. These days we have decoys of of so-called witnesses of Christ trying to use false giftings to testify that they are of the true light. Oh, somebody will say, "Me my Ghana, my country Ghana." You have fetish priests that have put on coat suits, fetish priests that have sewn nice clothes with how do you call it, microphones, and then trying to act as they are giving testimonies of the true light. It is false. Darkness can never, I repeat, darkness can never testify about the true light. The Bible says that the light has never been able to comprehend, the darkness has never been able to comprehend the light.
Yes.
It does, in the dimension of comprehension, darkness has never been able to comprehend the activities of light. So how does lack of comprehension allows darkness to testify of light? It's impossible. Jesus knew of this, and so he said, he knows what is in man, and because of that, he's not interested in the testimony of man. What was he saying was in man? What he was saying was in man is when he took Peter and said that, "Satan, get thee behind me, because the hearts of men can be opened at any particular point in time to be used by the enemy." This is why we measure the merits of authenticity according to the word of God and not by anybody's giftings or whatever you do. A pastor can fall today and toe a different line when it comes to serving God. I'm telling you, the man who initiated the greatest rebellion was said to be that he was perfect in his ways and there was nothing wrong in him, full of wisdom, but yet iniquity was found in him. He was a light bearer until the day that iniquity was found in him. So look, our situation is very dicey, that being called forth to be light bearers and the burning ones, we must approach this activity with all forms of cautiousness and carefulness, in order that we would maintain the brightness of our true light and not carry upon ourselves a light that seems like true light, but it is not the true light. For even the great adversary is able to appear or attend as one that is of an angel of light, but he is not. Many of you have sat under the feet of men that profess to be sent by the true light and that they are burning ones. They deceived by their giftings, but they were not. In their depths of heart of heart, they do not have a true genuine repentance to follow Christ. Do I say men are not without fault? I'll be a lie. Do I say pastors do not fall? I'll be a lie. Look, me as a pastor here, I have had a part days in my life, in the history of my life as being a pastor, I felt brutal. Yes, just so you know that God is able to restore light from darkness. I'm telling you, I felt brutal. I'm using the word brutal because it is one of, it's like those of Peter. He says, I know, but I've prayed for you. It's like one of Peter's. He says, I know, but I've prayed for you so that you'll be restored. It took the grace of God for me to pursue this thing that I'm doing called being called by Christ. And if you are not truly wanting to have a repentant heart before Christ, Oshiasia, when you fall, you won't get up, because the pride of life will keep you in the state of your fall. Look, strong men are not those who do not follow. Whoever tells you this, then I'm telling you they are lie. Strong men are not those who are not necessarily even associated with trials and temptations. But strong men are those who go through this and overcome. And it is not also a statement to live in mediocrity in terms of your Christian life and your call to holiness in Christ. When you fall, you do not have any strength. You are at the mercy of God to be restored. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that there are men that initially carried the light just like Satan was. And the issues of life, some being the challenges of money, they gave up. And now they are serving mammon. They carry the light of Mammon. They know how to prophesy to you and take money from you. They are not true burning ones. They are called by Mammon. Mammon is also a god.
Yeah.
And the light of Mammon can be so beautiful, I'm telling you. Oh, you buy all the estates in East Legon, Tazako. You buy all the Rolls Royce and cars. Oh, you the light of Mammon can be so bright, I'm telling you. And sometimes it can be so glorious that you would think that it came from the true light, but no, it didn't. John 5:33. There's something there about John. Jesus said that you have sent to John and he testified to the truth. 34, Jesus repeat cautiously, a man testifying of him. He says, not that I accept human testimony. Jesus does not accept human testimony. He accepts the testimony of the Spirit. So don't let a politician cannot stand somewhere and say that Jesus is Lord, and because of that every Christian is following that political party. It's great deception. A fetish priest cannot stand somewhere and say Jesus is Lord, we all know, and because of that, I like him because he says he talks about Jesus too, though he's a fetish. What level of deception has come to this age? The guy is there fooling about, and because he says something about Jesus, you say that we like him because he talked about Jesus. Huh? To do with the power of God, the Bible says that the demons even know it and they shudder when they hear it. The John 5 I was reading, it says that I do not accept the testimony of, but I mention it to you so that you'll be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. You see that in this statement, every form of light God is talking about, he says that they burned and they gave light, isn't it? They burned. How can you as a believer and a carrier of light not burn? How does a person give light without burning? Look, you can never have a prevailing light without an element, without an element of burning. You can't. But the thing is that many people are not willing to burn, but they are willing to reflect light. Some people in the kingdom of God are only light reflectors. They are reflectors of the light of others. So the day that the enemy would hit, you realize that they don't carry any fire in them, because they themselves, they are not burning body. Beloved, I've come to tell you that until you produce light, you must burn. If you go back to Genesis, okay, when God said, let there be light, the light necessarily didn't come because it was not there. The light was there. How do I know the light was there? The light was there as a manifestation of the Spirit that was actively in a place of brooding in order to sustain order in the midst of the chaos. The Spirit, Jesus, the embodiment of the true light of the world. The Bible says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the what? With the Holy Ghost and with what? With power. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? With power. Every light that you see burning, there is a deposit of oil. Every true believer that would be a burning one, there is a deposit of the Spirit of God that is actively at work in brooding. Are you a burning one? You can't burn without the Spirit. There is no candle that burns without the wax. There is no lamp that burns without the oil. The oil is the presence of the Holy Spirit. So before God said that there be light, there was a presence of oil to give a burning and a combustion activity when the word was infused with the Spirit. There are two elements for light to shine. You know one thing, if you look at the sun, if you look at the moon, their glory is different. Is that not the case? If you look at the sun, if you look at the moon, they are all light bearers, but their glory is different. Do you know why? Their glory is different. One is a greater light and one is a lesser light. And one thing that is so, one thing that is common with the with these lights is that scientists can go to the moon and they will be fine. But I wonder how many scientists would dare land on the sun. You are here and you see a bright light coming from the sun. But do you know the composition of the sun? The sun is in constant combustion of gaseous fire, like fire and gases are constantly burning on the sun. There is nothing that stays alive on the sun. Only it gas and fire. A state of perpetual burning. You are a believer. You want to burn today and you don't burn tomorrow. Do you think that if the sun was not consistent with burning, you would wake up and your seed on earth were bad? You would wake up and your tent were bad? No, it won't happen. Consider the great light, the sun and the moon. Look at their glory. Look at their glory. Consider the intensities of the combustion of the sun. Burning. The sun go through all this in order to give you a bright light that we enjoy. It also marks the seasons for our life on earth. Yet nothing approaches the sun and leave, because it is in constant burning. There should, as a burning one, nothing dead should be able to approach you. And anything that seems to have life, that has the ability to alter your combustion, shouldn't also come and leave. There is only one life in you. It is the life of the fire of God, the life of the Holy Spirit in combustion. You have men that do not want to burn, but they want to give light. It's not possible. If a man does not burn to give light, his purpose that God has given to him will not be manifested. This is why a lot of you have received prophetic word, both from fetish priests, both from true prophets, both from Satan himself, both from angels, and it hasn't come to pass yet as we speak. Why? Because you are refusing to burn. The destiny God has for you can only be seen through the manifestation of light, because in light we have the perfect order of seven being revealed. And so every man that God will choose to make manifest to the ages, God must first put the man through a process where he would combust him. He will burn that man so that man can produce his light through combustion. Every man carries a purpose, and that purpose is manifested as light according to the divine order of manifestation. If you say that you are a believer and you have a destiny that God is revealing through you, and I don't see it as a form of light, then you were not sent from God. Because everyone that is sent from God is seen as a form of light. Let me tell you this. Even if you have a divine destiny and it's not a prevailing one, you will be dominated by other light. Either they are greater or lesser, you'll be dominated. Even in the days that you are supposed to shine, because you have refused to burn, other lights that are lesser will dominate over you. Read Luke chapter 16 verse 8 and see. The Bible says that for the sons of this age, or the sons of darkness, or non-believers, he said that they are wiser in their generation than the sons of light. He was comparing intensities of certain generations of people, that though one carry greater light, they are not burning. And because of that, the lesser one is dominating. And I can tell you boldly that, believers, we are living in that age. We are living in that age that when Christianity is mentioned, sorry to say, in quote, people will think cuckoo, the crazy people, the foolish people, they have no wisdom, they go and people will collect them. Why? Because the enemy himself has instated false preachers and teachers as men that are leading those so-called sons of light. How can the moon lead the sun? It is impossible. How can the moon lead the sun? It is an error. So this scripture in Luke chapter 16 verse 8, it is an error. When Jesus said that, it is an error. How does the sons of darkness wiser? That means that what the term wiser means, that in their quest to even brighten up in darkness, their light is greater than that of the sons of light. How? Oh, you say, God use me. God use me. What do you want God to use you for? God use me. There are men that give themselves for God to use them so that they will burn. But before they burn, they must go through the process in which substances that are made to burn must be produced. Men that maintain the fervency of their prevailing light go through an ordeal formed and fashioned by God. They emerge as true prevailing light, not just as any light. Because the fellowship of light comes with several processes that subjects the bearer and the carrier of that light to some of the most unfavorable life experiences and challenges. The light that David carried was that he will become a leader in Israel. So the Bible speaks of him in the book of Samuel. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 21:17, he said that, but Abishai the son of Zeruiah came to David's aid and struck and killed the Philistine. Then David's men swore to him, you shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel. David represented the lamp of Israel. How did he become? Did he take the throne on a silver platter? No. What do you represent? What do you represent? What lamp do you represent in your family? Every day you go to church, you are killing family goals. Every day you go to church, you are killing ancestral. Have you manifested as the light of your family? No. Why? Because you are not willing to go through the process. There is the chambers of processes of making you the one that God wants you to make. He told Jeremiah that I have chosen Cyrus to be my battle axe. You'll be my battle axe and your weapons of war. You want God to use you as his battle axe and his weapons of war in your family, but yet you are not willing to combust in the place of prayer. You are not willing to combust in the place of... Do you know how a battle axe is made? Do you know how a battle axe is made? Do you believe? I want to ask, do you know how a battle axe is made? A battle axe is forged. First of all, yeah, through fire. First of all, the iron ore has to be dug out of death. In darkness, we have to extract you, produce you, bring you into an ore state, and then put you in fire. And then God would hit you several times, hit you until you are fold, molded and formed to become a battle axe that will tore. He says that Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 20, you Cyrus of Persia, son, soon to conquer Babylon. You want to conquer Babylon, God needs a battle axe of you. Will you go under the fire? You are only a burning one when your battle axe is revealed. Your light, your kind of light is a battle. You may be your in your family, you are the battle axe of your family. That is the light that you are. David was the king for Israel, chosen as a time such as that. But before, God forged him through the fires of the desert, tendering his heart in the place of mercy and judgment, knowing how to tend his flock, and at the same time making him a guardian over the people of Israel by teaching him how to pursue lions and bears and bring out the weaker ones out of their mouth. What are you? What do you want to learn of God? What are you? What light are you? You are lightless. You have no destiny for your light. You want to prevail. What light are you in your generation? All that you know is you sing with them, I'm a chosen generation, we are the light of the world. No, it is not like that. Please, light is produced. God creates a system and a substance that allows perpetual combustion so that it can give light. Show me anything that is giving light without burning. The Bible says that the I am that I am, his eyes is burning like fiery one is burning. The revelation of Christ speaks that his eyes is burning. You have cold believers sitting in church only waiting for prophecy. Where are you running with that prophecy to? What are you going to do with that prophecy? That prophecy manifests in the domain of light. What are you going to do with it? He says, Cyrus, Isaiah, Jeremiah 51:20. He says, you Cyrus of Persia, soon to conquer Babylon, are my battle axe and weapon of war. For with you I'll shatter nations, with you I'll destroy kingdoms, with you I'll shatter the horse and his rider, with you I will shatter the chariot and its drivers, with you I'll shatter man and woman, with you I'll shatter old and new, with you I'll shatter young and virgin, with you I'll shatter the shepherd and the flock, with you I'll shatter the farmer and the young, and with you I'll shatter governors and commanders. A cross-generational axe that would weed and cut off in all seasons. What light are you? I have a question to ask you. I'm asking you today, what light are you? What light are you? He said that I am raising a prime minister that does not belong to a land, would come from a foreign land, to be a light in Egypt, a light to the secular world. I'm raising him. But first of all, his own household, also Motono, they must sell him out. Oh, when you go to prayer meeting, all those that are selling me, they should die. All those that are selling me, they should die. You don't want to be forged. You have been brought up in a form of Christianity that denies that your God has power to save you. Where is the salvation of your God? If you waste your prayer praying about killing those who will sell you, but still when you leave, you don't dwell in any place of light or a life of holiness or a life that is dedicated to serving God. How do you want to be directed by that? It was God forging Joseph that permitted that he be sold. And to many people, Joseph was bought by foreigners. But no, Joseph was bought by the angels of God so that they would take him to Egypt. Yes, you said they sold you to where? They sold you to the dark kingdom. They sold you. No, they haven't sold you to any dark kingdom. There is no kingdom too dark for the light of God to prevail and bring you out of darkness. They haven't sold you to any dark kingdom. They cannot buy your life. There's no dark kingdom that have the purchasing power to buy your life. It's deception. They sold you to that kingdom. Do you know the light you carry? Do you know the light you carry that they've sold you to that kingdom? It's absolutely impossible. They sold Joseph. God said, so, sell him off. Sold him off, took him here, there, came through the place of accusation. Because every person that assumes public authority must be accused, must be defamed. If you're a Christian and you don't know how to handle being defamed, there is something that when I was meditating on this scripture was running through my head, was funny. You know, I realized at a point in ministry, the sin that I actually committed, when I told the people I committed that sin, they didn't believe. The sin that I didn't commit, when I told them, they said, no, I committed that one. And then I realized that it takes only God, your loyalty to God in the place of holiness. It takes only God. It is to God. It's not to people. Don't come and act right to people, but act wrong in there. And don't act wrong in there and act right to people. Let it be, first and foremost, is to God first. Let your heart be aligned with God first.
Yeah.
Every person that assume any form of political power and authority must first know that they are open to being defamed. They talk about you small. I'm tired. I don't even want to. They gossip about me. I don't even want to worship God anymore. They make Christianity so sad. Is Christianity about what people are saying? Don't use these weak excuses to exit out of what you have been called to do. They talk everywhere. Go to the secular world. They talk everywhere. He went to speak to me about it. It's distraction. The enemy is distracting you from your God-given assignment and purpose. He went to be defamed in the house of prophet. After suffering like defamation in that place, and after being humiliated, he was taken to prison. In the prison, God says that now I have my light in the belly of the earth in Egypt. I'm about to resurrect a glorious one to the kingdom. Who told you that your next position from prison is prime minister? I thought it should have been in the house of Potiphar, so that at least Potiphar could have recommended him to Pharaoh. Because some of you are looking for recommendation from places of authority. You are looking for recommendation from places of authority. So because of that man in authority, whatever he asks you to do, you want to do it, so that he will give you good report. Look, good report comes from God. There is no precedent in this world that if God wants them to call you, cannot send an angel to go and speak to that person. Take your phone and call this man, or else you never sleep. The man will be watching telly and he will see telephone number, call this number. Nothing can stop it. Look, God, I mean sometimes we you know the problem with believers, we've limited the hand of God in so many dimensions. And so our light is dim. Not anybody dimming our light. We haven't come to a place our light is dim. And then straight away God said that he's ready. I've passed him through the combustion chambers. He will persistently and continuously to burn for me. He's ready. Bring him in there. And then we see a shining light in Egypt as the prime minister. Did this start as a shining light? No, it started from the places of darkness. He was forged in the places of darkness, unknown to many. When Moses was about to be born, was in that same season, there was a decree, kill every first male child And then it is in that season that God decided that I am bringing my deliverer. Nothing will stop your light if you are willing to stay in the place of combusting it. Nothing will stop your light in the name of Jesus. Beloved, because of our time, 15 past now, we are praying. I'll continue this message. Nothing. I want you to understand that whatever you are going through, just like the beginning of Genesis, it must start as if that there was chaos and darkness, but there is a seventh day of every man's life where the rest of God is open to that man. And in that, the wisdom of God is revealed. God created this world with great light. He didn't create it in darkness. He created it with great light, and it marked the seasons. Your time, both spiritual and physical, are marked by God. He has given you a purposeful time that in the seventh day you will come to his perfect rest. You have a lot of the Sabbath. Jesus told them, you guys don't want me to work in the Sabbath. But when one of you fall into the river, you go, when your sheep or whatever fall, your cow will fall into the river, you rescue it. How then that the Son of Man should not rescue this daughter of what? Abraham, having been bound by Satan in the Sabbath. So in the Sabbath, what God make holy is not the wind and the day. In the Sabbath, what God makes holy is his beings. It is in the Sabbath that he said it is finished. And this was repeated on the cross by Christ when he said that it is finished. When the true light actually brought into fulfillment how God in that day would perfect all creations and make them holy. Without Christ, nobody can be holy. So the seventh day is not a day that God was just, the seventh day was not a day that God was just taking a breeze. The Bible says that they didn't have faith. They did not mix the word with faith, so they did not enter into his word. Rest. We are praying. Your life is not a mistake. Your life has not failed. Your life has not been short-handed. It is not about, as long as you are born, as long as you've been born, wherever you are, wherever you are coming from, God has the ability to bring you out of darkness into a place of prominence. How does it say what is this guy's name? This singer. Something like that. I forgot this guy's name. That song. You know how he speaks of how God takes a man from the miry clay and he sets his feet upon the rock. God can do that with you. Don't those that are telling you, give up on prayer, give up on that, your prayers are, no, they don't know you are combusting for a season. Let's lift up our voice and begin to pray. We have 2 minutes, 20 past. I want to leave you. Begin to pray in your spirit in the name of Jesus. Father Kala Baba, here is our junior. Say Baba La Bala Bala, but you still have light. You still have light. There is oil. The spirit is here. Open your mouth and begin to pray. You still have light. Those of you that the enemy has contended with your light throughout the ages, tonight in the name of Jesus, may the hand of God come upon your light in the name of Jesus.